Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say, this is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to kimandlavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie. They're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
4 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show. We'll hear from Jeremy Jeffress this hour at about 4:35. Chuck Freeman is going to join us from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles coming up at 4:48. And our weekly visit with David Bakhtiari, the Packers left tackle and play caller. He's going to join us at 5:35. Our conversation continues now with Seth Everett, our national baseball insider of Forbes.com and the Hall of Justice and Sports with Friends podcast. And like you said before the break, asked him on there. He had no choice but to stick around for a second segment. Let's move ahead to game five. Well, or excuse me.
Can I ask a question before we get into game five?
Yeah, go ahead.
Does Chuck have to do the morning show 2 hours early?
Yeah. Yep.
Does he stay up all night?
He was sleeping this afternoon. At one point,
I would, if I was him, go to the game because the game's a late start tonight, right? It's 8 o'clock Central time,
right.
First pitch.
6 o'clock right? His time.
Right. So he's not getting out of the clubhouse until 10:30, 11:00. If he has to be on the air at 3,
mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Stay up.
Stay up
for sure.
I wonder if there's something to do in L.A.
I heard allegedly he doesn't shower anyway, so he's good.
Oh, come on.
Okay. It's alleged. It's all alleged.
When you're stressed watching tonight's game, because at some point you'll be stressed, at some point, all I can say is think about what's going on in baseball around the league that's not involving Milwaukee. The Angels opted out of their lease.
Yep.
Derek Jeter's pulling statues out of the Marlins Park. And the Syracuse Chiefs, an 85-year-old franchise with all kinds of legacy, in the most narcissistic situation that I have seen the Mets franchise do, have been renamed the Syracuse Mets, to which nobody in Syracuse likes.
It's probably not a good choice on their part.
Could be worse. Could be worse out there.
Could be a whole hell of a lot worse.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I've asked a lot of questions.
No, go ahead, finish your point.
Well, I wanted to move ahead to game four tonight.
That's what I was going
to. And looking, I mean, if you look at the pitching matchup on paper of Rich Hill against Gio Gonzalez, you probably say advantage Dodgers. But I don't know about you, Seth. I really expect tonight's game to be handled like a bullpen day or like Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee Baseball Insider, coined it last season, Johnny Holstaff day. I don't expect to see Gio Gonzalez out there for two or three innings, and I think that really levels the playing field in terms of any starting pitching edge that one might think the Dodgers have coming into this one.
The two things that we took away from yesterday, number one, they needed innings out of Chastain. They got it.
Yep.
And what they are being completely transparent about is they are simply looking for once through the order. What their research has shown, and this is a big part of this bullpenning shenanigan, first of all, the Brewers are doing it out of necessity. They're not doing it out of desire. They're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. Tampa is trying to reinvent the wheel. The difference is that you made the point. If you put Rich Hill up against Gio Gonzalez and expect 85 to 105 pitches out of Gio Gonzalez in six innings, there's a mismatch. They do not match favorably, which is why no one picked them against the Cubs, which is why no one will pick them against the Dodgers. And the reality of what the Brewer plan is they're going to try to say that they want every hitter in the Dodger lineup to face four looks. The caveat to that, which is why I think your earlier point about you do not want this series going seven, is the pressure of a game seven is unlike anything else in sports. So you're asking six, seven, possibly even eight pitchers to all be on their A game with all the marbles at stake.
Right.
It's what Oakland tried in the wild card playoff game, and it completely backfired. because everybody was nervous, because you don't get into a rhythm. What they're doing is they're doing this. They're using these situations in non-must-win games. And I think it's working out perfectly. And if you think about this series and project a little bit further, they'll have Chacin for game six. And I said at the beginning of the series, this is Brewers in six.
Yeah, what's going on with Yelich? I mean, he was up, but he's the guy I want up. Game two, you know, a man on. You know, he could have did some damage and didn't do it. But what, are the Dodgers doing something special for him, or he's just too nervous being at home with his family and friends? Because this is the game I picked for him to just come out and just do some of the stuff he's always done up until, you know, for the last couple weeks.
Well, you know, unlike the national media, teams know by scouting this team how good a hitter Christian Yelich is.
Right.
I don't think he's getting anything good. And what Christian Yelich does really, really well is hit mistakes. And they just haven't made a lot of mistakes against him. You know, I think in the Dodger case, I have great respect for the Dodgers and the Dodger organization. I just don't think they're that great. And the reality of it is they're still, their strength is their ability to single out hitters and get them out. And they've done exactly that.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, one guy I'm really happy for is Arcia, three home runs. Right now, if they go on to go to the World Series, he's my MVP. If you can get anything at the bottom of that order, you feel real good about it.
Well, you know, the beauty of this is with all the off days that the playoffs present, nobody gets into a rhythm. You know, anytime you see this great offensive performance extended over time, it's really an anomaly, and it's really a credit to the player because it's very hard to stay hot.
Yep.
Playing in cold temperatures, and you don't have any rhythm. Every start time is different in this series, and there's nothing remotely close to routine, and that's what guys in baseball are. You ask these guys to play, you know, 21 games in 22 days, and then all of a sudden it's 5 games in 9 days, and you can't keep the rhythm going. I think a big problem, if you, I'm not putting the cart before the horse, but just looking at this from a baseball standpoint, it will feel like an eternity until game one of the World Series. And there's going to be so much time. And I think I told you guys the story about the fight I had with Charlie Manuel about the layoff between the LCS and the World Series, because there was a series where the Phillies in 2008, they beat the Dodgers in 5 games, and they didn't play for 8 full days. And it was rainy, cold, yucky, disgusting Philadelphia. And I said to Charlie Manuel, you should take the team on a plane and go to the Arizona Fall League, which has started, and play charity games for either give tickets away free or charge like $5 and give it all to charity, and play charity games against the Arizona Fall League just so you're in the warm weather and you're actually seeing actual game action as opposed to these fakakta workout days, which are really just glorified press conferences.
I agree.
Charlie Manuel thought I was insane. He thought I was crazy. And I think it is the thing that cools down teams. And you've seen it all along. So I don't read too much into, you know, postseason numbers. I think Yelich will get an opportunity to get a big hit. I think this team has been very clutch, and I think this is on one hell of a ride.
When you talk about this Dodgers offense and how they really haven't been going as well as everybody kind of thought they have, or would be at this point, do you give more credit to the Brewers pitching staff and their scouting plans against these guys, or do you think the Dodgers are just in a funk at this point?
No, I think it's the pitching. I think the fact that they're giving them all kinds of different looks, lefty, righty. They've gone with guys who throw, you know, very hard to guys who are, you know, change up slider types. I think the game plan against them has been really great. I think the neat thing that you're looking at with regard to how this is all happening is my attitude has always been, when we talk about, you know, the short series, I think that Dodger offense is beyond overrated. And I have said that all along. That, and there's one other thing I can say, and I say this to every fan that's listening to your show. Puig is obnoxious. He is an obnoxious punk, and I'd love to see him get dusted.
But you don't do that, especially not in the NLCS, right, Seth? If we're talking about smart baseball.
I don't have skin in the game. I don't care.
All right.
Honest.
That's our National Baseball Insider, Seth Everett.
I'm from New Jersey. I can place a legal bet, but I don't have skin in the game.
He's kind enough to give us two segments today on the day after Game 3, on the day of Game 4. You can find his work at the Hall of Justice podcast, Sports with Friends podcast, and Forbes.com. And Seth, I'm sure we'll be checking again in soon as the Brewers and the MLB playoffs roll right along, my friend. Thank you so much.
I'm around, guys, and again, enjoy the game tonight.
We'll be in touch. Seth Everett joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Be in touch, too.
Yeah, for sure. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Wendy's, they care about kids. They care about kids in school. They care about kids in youth sports. And to prove it, they got a couple great deals going on right now. You get a free small Frosty if you bring your kid 18 and under to Wendy's in their uniform after they play a game, any type of game. It can be lacrosse, soccer, bowling, basketball, baseball, hockey, football. Doesn't matter what it is. After they get done with their game, you bring them over in their jersey, and they'll give you a free small Frosty for your athlete in their jersey. Plus, they're a great way to fundraise for, you know, those sporting trips everybody wants to take, or if you're trying to get a new turf for a football field, or something new for your youth baseball fields, or whatever the case may be. Wendy's will give you back 20% of net sales to your school or youth athletic programs. It's easy. You can sign up for a single day, or get this, you can fundraise for up to 30 days at Wendy's. They'll supply you a voucher for you to share via email or social media. Your supporters just need to show it when they drive through or drive in. To no-brainers, use Wendy's for your fundraising for your youth sports or school fundraisers.
Brewers Talk continues right after this on the Wendy's Big Show on a 2 for Tuesday.
Well, they know who I am. Each and every guy in here has the support behind everybody, you know, and each guy just, you know, tells me every day, I'm an all-star, man. You're a great pitcher. Don't let nothing get in your way, all the negativity, you know, all that stuff. So just continue to be who you are. You know, we know who you are, and just go out there and pitch.
That was Jeremy Jeffress, Brewers reliever. This is the Wendy's Big Show. It's a 2 for Tuesday. Got your Brewers and Packers covered all afternoon long. We're going to hear from Jeffress and his conversation with Bill Michaels. That's coming up at 4:35. Chuck Freeman, he's in L.A. for part of our NLCS coverage. He'll join us from Dodger Stadium at 4:48. And David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, he makes his weekly visit to the show coming up at 5:35. Before we spent a substantial amount of time with Seth Everett, we were asking if you were questioning the handling of the pitching staff last night, and are you still today at 414-799-1250. Tweet the show at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Some of you were kind enough to hang on while we talk to Seth, and we want to get you in, starting with Christian in Uptown. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Christian?
Hey, good afternoon.
It is.
That was a great interview, by the way.
Thank you.
It really got me pumped up. The question was asked before that about whether or not we support Craig's decision with the pitching staff, and I think for the most part, yes. But I do think that despite my support for him working things out with Jeffress last night, I feel like he put him in this situation by not pulling him in the first game when he showed, you know, early signs of struggle. But other than that, I think I'd like to see the starting pitchers go another inning. I thought Miley had another inning in him. Maybe not Chacin, but I thought that might have, you know, won the second game for us. So, I wish that we'd give them a little bit longer of a leash, because it's easier to come back from a deficit, you know, in the sixth inning than it is, you know, in the ninth. So,
all right, thanks for the call.
I liked it. I remember when Steve, you had mentioned that when that was last week. You say you want the starter to go a little longer. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not going to happen. I mean, Council, that's not what he does. And the fact he let Chacin go as long as he went last night is a big deal. You should be happy he let Chacin pitch into the sixth inning last night.
He listened to the Big Show. I'm telling you, they're listening.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And he said, I'm going to do this for Steve.
By the way, I'm going to sidetrack us here for a second.
Hey, that's what we do.
On the Big Show? No way.
I've been mild today. Take over, Steve.
I'm old and I forget things, but this came to me a little while ago. Hey, man. I know you didn't officially say it, Leroy,
mm-hmm.
but you mentioned it in passing to Ryan Wood of a what-if situation.
Mm-hmm.
And next time I'm going to be paying attention. I'm going to know what's coming when you do crap like that again, because now you're pulling an Ellerson. Do you remember when he asked Ryan Wood, yeah, what do you think? Do you think they might start Aaron Jones in this one? Da-da-da-da-da?
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Yeah.
He knew. He knew. He just didn't want to sell it. So he does it in that question format. You got to pay attention to these two knuckleheads because they're going to tell you stuff before it happens without telling you. That's what Leroy did. He knew, didn't say it, just asked it in the form of a question.
Is this the portion of the show where we talk about Aaron Jones? Is this?
No, I was just giving Leroy credit.
Okay.
Because nobody else is going to otherwise. I mean, but he knew. And
I've got some Aaron Jones stuff on my chest I'd like to get off.
Okay, go ahead.
How mad were you when that wasn't a touchdown?
I needed 9 damn points last night from Aaron Jones to win my fantasy football game.
That touchdown would have did it for you.
It basically salvaged my season. I came into this week, what are we in, week 4, week 6? Yeah. I came into this week 1-4, even though I'm like the fourth highest scorer in my league. I'm 1-4.
It's just bad luck.
I hate that. It's the only thing I hate about fantasy football.
Those are seasons.
So I'm going into that game last night like, man, I'm going to get this thing on track. I just need 9 points from Aaron Jones, and he gets me 8 on the first damn drive by leaping across the goal line. And I'm like, I got this. He just needs to get like 1 more catch, like 10 more yards, and I'm good. I got this. And then they reverse it. And then apparently, which, by the way, I still don't understand why they reversed it, because I remember a Mike Vick play years back
touchdown.
Where they said that the goal line extends infinitely.
Correct. Yeah.
So
they've always said that.
You don't have to be in bounds when you cross the goal line. The last step that he took was in bounds.
Yes,
he went airborne. He crossed the goal line before he touched down out of bounds, and they still reversed it somehow. I don't understand. I even listened to the referees, you know, their rules expert that they have on Monday Night Football.
Right.
Listen to his explanation. That still didn't make any damn sense.
Sure
and
didn't.
Then apparently Aaron Jones was on timeout in the second half. I don't know what the hell happened to Aaron Jones
in the
second half.
Let's go back.
I just know I finished with 4 damn points and lost my game, and now my season's over. I'm 1-5. It's over, man. It's a wrap.
Let's go back. He dropped the pass.
They tried to give it to him again. He lost like a yard, I think. And didn't they take him out for Montgomery?
Was there. That wasn't his fault.
They take him out for Montgomery and throw it to Montgomery. That could have been him.
You're doing what I love.
Right?
I love
this. And you're the one, Rami.
This is what I love.
You love that I'm feeling Packers fans' pain for the first time ever?
No. It's nothing new with you.
All right.
But what I love is Booger McFarland. Right, is telling me as a fan that Aaron Jones isn't good at route running, can't catch a football, all this stuff. I'm thinking to myself, how would Booger McFarland know that Aaron Jones hasn't done much of any of that all year long? So all he does is reiterate, obviously, like most of these guys do from the production meeting. That's pretty much what the coaches are telling him. Hey, look, we're getting a lot of heat on Aaron Jones not playing, so this is what we need to get out there. He doesn't run routes well, and he can't hold on to the football. And then sure enough, Rodgers throws him a pass out in the flat and drops the ball. And that was the end of Aaron Jones. It was all done. It was all done after that. But they started him. I know Mike McCarthy, right? Well, you know, there's more to being a running back than running the football. Okay. Go down with that shit.
How about just letting him handle the run the football part? How about that?
Yeah, just make it obvious when he's in there run the ball.
Like I said before, just trade him. If you don't want him, just trade him. If he can't be a part of your offense and you think Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery are good enough, then just trade him. You don't need them. Trade them. Why? You need help in other areas on your defense right now. You could use a couple more linebackers that actually can play at this point. You could use another safety at this point. Not saying Aaron Jones is going to get you some high-level guy, but if you can trade a young Aaron Jones for a young safety who's blocked, fine. Then make that trade. Do what you got to do. I was losing
my damn mind last night in the second half, man. Losing my damn mind.
Well, was it you or was it Wood that said yesterday they think that Aaron Jones' role will expand after the bye week?
Oh, yeah, that is the word.
That doesn't help me now.
Really?
Cool.
It's the word. He's going to get more.
Awesome.
No, but it helps me be able to get through the bye week thinking this might actually get better.
A little light at the end of the tunnel for you.
They got some wrinkles that they're putting in for him.
Hey, we have a Brewers lineup.
We don't.
Keep in mind that it's the lefty Rich Hill on the lineup or on the mound for the Dodgers when you hear this lineup. It's Kane in center field and leading off. Yelich in right field batting second. Ryan Braun will bat third. He's in left field. Jesus Aguilar cleaning up. He's at first base. Moustakas gets the start at third base. He'll bat fifth, batting sixth, and at second base, Jonathan Scope.
Scope.
Manny Pena behind the plate. He'll bat seventh. Orlando Arcia batting eighth and at shortstop.
Perfect.
And Gio Gonzalez on the mound and batting ninth.
Love it. Let's go. Let's see what Jonathan Scope can do. I want to see it. Let's go.
You know what? Another guy that we talked about last week, Kratz, he gets on. Kratzy,
unbelievable.
He gets on, and Arcia hits the home run. I mean, the guy is just clutch for just one or two times. Just a play that you need. I mean, it's just – and you know what? I think he catches Hader. I don't know if it's something to that. But he catches Hader a lot better because he can – for some reason, it's a comfort zone.
Kratz has a comfort zone with a lot of those guys.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like a arm, put an arm around you. Do what you want to do. I got your back. If it's a wild pitch, I'll stop it. You just do your thing, and I'm okay with it. I like that.
We had a quick break on the other side. Jeremy Jeffress was really, really good with Bill Michaels today. If you didn't catch it, well, we're going to do you a favor and bring it your way right after this on the Wendy's Big Show on a 2 for Tuesday. But first, Leroy Butler with some key words about his friends over at Mantality.
I tell you what, if you want to keep up a schedule like me, I'm losing my breath, my voice.
Your mind?
That too. Okay, Jeremy, I'll get to you in 1 minute. Let me do this thing real quick. You too, Mike McCarthy. Y'all take it easy now. Just let your boy do this thing now, because I'm trying to help every guy out there that think they know everything, but they're having some issues, and they don't want to tell anybody. Well, I'm here for you. This is Leroy Butler for Mantality. Go to lowtusa.com. You're going to look on there. Just say, I want a free consultation. I just need to find out if I even have it, where am I rated, whatever. I'm going to bring my wife with me, and I'm going to sit down and talk to a certified physician, and it's going to be pivotal. I just throw that in all the time.
Well done.
It's funny.
You got it.
But
I think you got it down. You need my help anymore.
I think – don't get too – don't move too far. I think – they saved lives. I had a young man that they found out he is a diabetic. He had no idea. He's 46 years old. He has twin boys. They're 5 years old. And every time he came home, he's a delivery guy. So he works a lot of hours. When he gets home, they want to play. He's too tired. I said, man, I'm going to tell you something. Just go with me over there and just let these guys. They found out his levels was low. He needed to go to his doctor because he could have some issues. Had he not gone, I don't know how bad it would have been. Guys, I'm telling you, if you've been fatigued, if you've been like you can't do what you normally do, you're depressed, you're just always in a bad mood, anxiety, all that kind of stuff, you could possibly be suffering for low T. Let Mantality help you. I mean, matter of fact, they'll help you. You know, if he wants to get another set of twins in another couple of years, they'll help you with that too. Go to lowtusa.com. They got a 90% success rate. And again, real board certified physicians. Do it today. Mantality.
We had a quick break. Jeremy Jeffress coming up next on the Wendy's Big Show on a 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, it is a 2 for Tuesday here on the Fan and on the Wendy's Big Show. Got your Brewers, got your Packers covered all afternoon long after big wins for both yesterday and another big game for the Brewers tonight. Game 4 of the NLCS. It was Jeremy Jeffress on the mound to close things out for the Brewers in Game 3 last night. And he joins Bill Michaels every Tuesday right here on the Fan throughout the season. Bring you a little bit of that right here, right now, just in case you missed it on the Wendy's Big Show.
The man that went out there and got the job done last night gave us a little moment where we bit our nails a little bit, but the confidence seemed to be reigning supreme. Jeremy Jeffress now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. JJ, how you doing, man?
I'm great, guys. How we doing?
Doing well. So what did it mean last night for Craig to go to you, stick with you, and to get that close?
It meant a lot to me, definitely. And it shows the respect level. It shows the confidence level that Craig and I have in each other. And but, I mean, that's just what he's been doing for me all year. And whenever I have those little hiccups or, you know, those stints where I've been having little problems with my, you know, mechanics, whatever the case may be, he throws me back out there in that high leverage situation to get my mindset back into, what I need to be doing.
You go back a couple of games, you haven't been really pounded. I mean, you know, obviously you gave up the long ball and the double, but it's a flare into right. It's a dribbler down the third base line. Are you just a little titch off right now, or are you finally starting to kind of hone it back in, or what?
No, I think I've got everything back in, and I don't think I lost anything. It's just the feel of, you know, of the pitch a little bit, you know, because like you said, you know, the hits were, you know, they were kind of soft contact hits, and it's it's just right there. Those are the locations where I want to pitch, and, you know, those are the pitches that I want to throw. So I'm not trying to train too much into myself, because that'll just snowball everything downhill. So I'm gonna just continue to do what I do, play the game that I love, you know, and just have fun, man.
Does it ever seep into your mind when things start to go awry, going, oh my God?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's just the nature of the game. The game will show you, you know, the scoreboard will tell you, you know, how to play the game, and then, you know, it's just the nature of the game, man. But you got to stay within yourself to continue to play and, you know, and doing what you're capable of doing. I mean, that's anything in life as well. If anything veers your mind off of what you're trying to do, it's just going to be a problem for you and for the rest of the people around you.
So tell me about Puig and trying to kind of pick at you, entice you, whatever. I mean, just, you know, I'm glad you didn't buy into it. Just go do what you do. Yeah. But doesn't it make you feel like if that's what they have to resort to at this point in time?
Hey, I mean, listen, that's how he plays his game. I can tell you that. But, you know, I mean, if that's what, you know, he wants to get his team, how he wants to get his team started, I mean, they don't want to come this way. You know, really, honestly, we're just trying to play a game, trying to win. You know, we're trying to do it on both sides, and, you know, it's just a respect, man. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just trying to win a game. You know, that's it.
Talk about Machado going in a second, grabbing Orlando Arcia, and another instance in which, if that's what you've got to do. Now, granted, you're trying to break up a double play. I understand it, but it's so far outside of the realm of what is supposed to be legal within baseball. It's kind of, you shake your head at it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't break a guy out of his natural, like, you know, playing hardness. I mean, but, you know, it's just what he did. You know, I mean, his mindset was to break up the double play, but how outrageous and how severe he took it in there. I thought the first one should have been, you know, double play as well. But, you know, I mean, it's up to MLB and the rules, so, you know, you take it there at the end of the day. So, but I mean, that's just, if they gotta do stuff like that to win the game, man, just let them play baseball.
Now, you get the win last night, which, by the way, congratulations. I mean, you put yourself in a tough predicament and then you battle your way out of it. It was funny, we were covering the Packer game last night, and I walked into the bar that we're doing the post-game show from, and everybody's screaming, oh, my God, Jeffress this and Jeffress that. And then as you get out, they're like, oh, my God. It went from this anger to euphoria to where he's got it back, and now everything's back on track. I mean, I don't think it just did – I don't know what it did for you and your confidence, or for Craig and his confidence in you, but for the fans, I think people said, look, if he's back on track, this team's now unstoppable.
Listen, I don't – The real fans will know that baseball is a day-to-day type of game. And, you know, it can go for a stand, you know, when the real fans understand that, you know, baseball, it's not an easy sport, man. This is one of the toughest mental sports you can play. But, you know, it's just the nature of the game, man. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's trying to win. You know, but I'm feeling good. The bullpen's, you know, still exactly where it needs to be, and we're having fun, and we're not going to go on a good ride right now.
I would assume that the level of confidence that this team has, not only with you guys in that bullpen, but just overall, the fact that Arcia is getting hits at the bottom of the lineup, Kratz is getting hits, everybody's contributing, and the guys you relied upon to get you there haven't had to do the majority of the yeoman's work. You guys got to be flying high, man.
That's what it is, man. It's anybody, anytime, anywhere. And that's our motto, was especially in the bullpen, and it just carries on a team. I was telling my father last night, you know, a definition of a team is the Milwaukee Brewers, because no one cares who does it, when we do it. It's just, we just need to get it done, you know, and that's the definition of, there's no I in team right there.
So I watch FS1, and I'm listening to Joe Buck and Smoltz, and nobody's buying into this out-getter stuff and this mentality, and they're all picking L.A. to win. Have you guys, like, listened to any of this outside world to say, these guys don't believe in us, and we've been doing this all damn season long?
Listen, man, listen. I don't – we really don't buy into what they're saying as well. You know, if they don't buy into our gameplay, we don't buy into what they're saying. It's just, you know, it's just – you'll see at the end of the day, you know, you can pick – people can pick who's going to win, all that stuff. you know, and say whatever they want to say. But you just got to wait till the end of the day, and that's gonna tell the tale. And we hear all the naysayers and all that stuff, man. You know, but we're ready.
I'm listening a little bit last night. There was more than a few Brewers fans in the crowd out there last night.
Yeah, most definitely. My mother and father said the same thing. It was like a lot of Brewer fans in the stands last night, man. The support, like I said, the support is real, and that's gonna push us over the edge. The support from the Brewers fans and keep believing in all our abilities, that I'm telling you, that's what's gonna push us over the edge, honestly.
JJ, you go get them. You kick ass, and we will talk to you again next week, my friend, okay?
All right, brother.
All right, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
There's okay. Jeremy Jeffress with Bill Michaels earlier today, and he'll join Bill every Tuesday throughout the playoffs. And I don't know about you guys, but that sounded like a guy who just had a load lifted off his shoulders by getting the job done last night. And that's awesome, the whole thing about talking to his dad after the game. And I loved everything that I just heard from JJ right there in that interview.
That's what you took away from that?
I mean, what did you take away from it?
Dude, he had a great night's sleep, and I bet he has Brooklyn sheets on his bed. Hey, new sheets that you discover right
now at
brooklinen.com. Brooklinen sheets. The winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews from Business Insider. Raving reviews from Steve Sparky, 5 for 2. It's just awesome, man. It's nice, soft sheets, cozy sheets. To get a better night's sleep, you do better the next day. It's just that simple. Brooklinen, fastest growing betting brand in the world.
Oh, that's a fact.
20,000 five-star reviews. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife team Vicky and Rich. Their mission is simple and one that I love. Bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. How cool is that? Different colors and materials to choose from to match whatever the decor may be in your bedroom. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for Big Show listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Sparky, S-P-A-R-K-Y, at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure that you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Sparky at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code Sparky. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever.
Chuck Freeman live from Dodger Stadium right after this on the Wendy's Big Show. It is a 2 for Tuesday here on the Wendy's Big Show. Got your Brewers and your Packers covered. We're going to talk with David Bakhtiari, the Packers left tackle and play caller. He'll make his weekly visit to the show at 5:35. You might have been tuning in now or just a little bit earlier, expecting to hear David. He had to move his appearance back this week from his normal 4:35 slot. He's on an airplane. So we'll talk with David Bakhtiari at 5:35. Joining us right now, though, live from Dodger Stadium. You know him from the Chuck and Winkler Show, weekday morning, 6 to 10. And he's out in L.A. covering this NLCS for us here on The Fan. He is Chuck Freeman. Chuck, how are you this afternoon, man?
Guys, one thing I noticed about being out in L.A., every day is the same. I mean, as far as weather day, I might be a little bit windier one day to the next, but every day is sunny and no clouds. Unlike Milwaukee and Wisconsin, you know, we're used to a different day every day. You wouldn't know today from yesterday.
And that's the great thing about – one of the great things about this series, Chuck, is that we don't have to worry about weather affecting the series. We have the roof here at Miller Park, and out there in L.A., it rains like twice a year. So we have no concerns about getting rained out, about getting delays, about it being too cold for baseball. We're going to have five. But we're going to have uninterrupted baseball for the duration of this series, and I love that.
Yeah, I noticed the cars out here don't even have windshield wipers. That's unreal. I mean, they save on that. That's an extra $5 people don't have to spend.
Yeah, like $5 a year for sure.
Yeah.
Chuck,
there was some wind. You know, the wind pushed that ball, that Arcia.
Yes.
When the sea breeze came along, because that wind before the game was blowing in, and then during the game it shifted, and that ball was hit like a slice off Arcia's bat, and it just kept carrying, and that sea breeze got behind the wind off the mountains there, got behind it and pushed it right over the fence. But that was a fly. That would have been a fly out.
Yeah, I said earlier that if you believe in fate, destiny, baseball gods, whatever mystical power you want to place on it, then you saw yesterday, Chuck, two or three balls that the Dodgers hit close to the wall that it looked like the wind probably pushed them back in and saved the Brewers a run or two, and then the wind suddenly shifts and gives the Brewers a home run on that Orlando Arcia shot. It's like nature is on their side on top of everything else.
You're right, and there is something to be said about the baseball gods. been on the Brewers' side during this entire postseason run. You know, look at Colorado, the final game there when they clinched game three. The pitcher drops the ball on the mound with men at second and third. Granderson's up, second and third, one run scores. And then a pass ball allows another run, and the slowest man ever to play baseball, Eric Kratz, scores from third. So, I mean, definitely when that guy can score from a pass ball, you know you're living right.
We were just playing Jeremy Jeffress' interview with Bill Michaels here from earlier today, and he talked about the Brewers fans that he noticed and could hear at Dodger Stadium yesterday. Could you hear the Brewers contingent, the Milwaukee contingent, in the crowd yesterday at Dodger Stadium?
Very few people out here from our Brewer fans. I've seen mostly Dodger blue, but you couldn't tell the Dodger blue if they step right in front of me because they're so silent out there. You know, there was more fans, I thought, in Colorado when the Brewers were out there, then they were out here. I'm surprised. There's not that. Then there's seats to be had out here, too, because they announced a sellout crowd of 52,000 last night. There was not, guys, 52,000 at that game. You know, the euchre seats that they have out here, you know, those upper reaches seats. Al McGuire used to say that, you know, if you fill those seats at a ballpark or in a stadium, you're doing your job at the upper reaches. And there were empty seats here at Dodger Stadium. But I don't think there was – I have not seen a lot of Brewer fans out here so far.
You, if you go on, like, StubHub or some of these ticketing websites, it appears that you can get tickets a lot cheaper for a game in L.A. and the NLCS than you can in Milwaukee for an NLCS game. Much cheaper to get them for the Dodgers Brewers there than they are here.
And Fife, you wouldn't guess that. You would think L.A., everything more expensive.
Yeah, but their fan base, and again, maybe I'm stereotyping, and Rami hates when I stereotype, but I just am not convinced that any fan base in L.A. is rabid about anything at all, unless it's the Los Angeles Lakers. Unless it's the Lakers, I don't think there's rabid fan bases for anything else.
Fife, I was in Cleveland when LeBron, I went and visited Cleveland a few times when LeBron was there, and you could tell LeBron played you could tell that he played the Cavaliers because there were LeBron billboards up and down buildings. You could tell LeBron was there. You couldn't even tell that LeBron is playing his first game with the Lakers this week. You couldn't even tell that he's a part of this town. I have not seen him on one billboard. I've been around town for now for 2 days. I have not seen and LeBron, we're talking about the face of the NBA, one of them, and you wouldn't even know he plays for the Lakers.
See, and the other thing is this, too. I want to get your thoughts on this because you've covered this team all year going down in the clubhouse for the on-deck shows all year and now being with them through the playoff run in Colorado, and now you're out in Los Angeles talking with Chuck Freeman of Chuck and Winkler in the morning weekdays, 6 to 10 here on The Fan. How is the mood of this team? Is it any different now than, say, it was in, I don't know, May or June or August?
It just seems like it's been an ever-changing team as far as players and guys who stepped up and guys who've been contributing. I mean, look at the starters in the series. You got Miley starting.
But what about the clubhouse as far as, you know, are they as loose as they were during the regular season? Does it seem any different atmosphere-wise?
I just think the Brewers have always had a pretty good clubhouse. I always have, and I do. And I think one guy who seems to be really unflappable is the guy we just heard from, Jeremy Jeffress. You know, you couldn't tell whether or not he had a bad couple of stretch here because he's the same guy win or lose after every game. And some of these guys are, and you know how it is in baseball, some managers and players and all that, after a tough loss, man, it's like the world is ending. But these guys bounce back. These guys have been very resistant, and they come back. They bounce back from tough losses very well, as we've seen them do it all year. And, you know, I think it is a really loose clubhouse, and it's probably the most together clubhouse fight I've ever seen in all my years of covering the team. I thought the 2011 team was pretty close, and of course every team has got their cliques, but I think this is a really, really close game. And Gio Gonzalez said this a couple of weeks ago. He said this is the team chemistry, this organization. He's just amazed with the fan base and what the chemistry is like with this team.
What about the pitchers? How are they dealing with this? I see him and he said, yeah, me, counsel just told me. But seemingly nobody else knew. How are they rolling with the punches from that aspect?
Well, I think probably some of those players knew. They just didn't want to be the one who was to break it to the media. And then maybe Gio wasn't even supposed to say it himself. But I think and I've heard reports, and I don't know if you saw this, Fife, last week, where someone said that, you know, there's going to be a rule. There's talk of a new rule where you got to unveil your starting pitcher. And, yeah, it really throws, I think, an opposing team off guard because Gio Gonzalez is pitching today. Is he going two innings? Who knows? Is he really for sure going to pitch this game? Who's that? I mean, the Brewers can say Gio Gonzalez is going to pitch, but maybe at game time they say, well, he's got a sore arm and somebody else is going to pitch. Who's to say? So the Brewers have had an added advantage because their starting rotation is very, you know, suspect, although it's been pitching very, very good as of late. They don't know who's going to start from day to day. They do, but they're not going to tell us.
Yeah, and Chuck, they have us guessing as much as they do the Dodgers guessing, but my guess is that even though Gio Gonzalez is the declared starter for this game, I'm expecting a bullpen day or a Johnny Holstaff day, essentially. I'm not looking for more than two or three innings out of Gio Gonzalez tonight, and then I think Craig Counsell hands it over to that bullpen. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know, the last couple of games, you've had starters go into the sixth inning with Miley on Saturday and then the start yesterday by Chacin. But Gio, his first game, he went two innings and that was it. But, you know, the bullpen has been, well, it hasn't, it's a little bit more rested than I thought because the last two starts have gone longer. But who's to say that Hader can't go three innings today? And Knable says he's ready to play. I asked Knable last night, I said, could you do what Jeffress does or could you do what Hader does and go two, three innings? He says, yeah, I'm capable of doing it. So I mean, who knows? Maybe down the line it's Knable who's going to get some longer innings out there. He went 1 2/3 yesterday. But, yeah, this starting rotation, I got a feeling tonight you're right about that. I got a feeling, Rami, you might see bullpen by committee again today.
That is Chuck Freeman out there in L.A. for our NLCS coverage, and you'll hear him weekdays 6 to 10 here on The Fan along with Bart Winkler on Chuck and Winkler, and I'm sure Chuck will be making an appearance on the post-game show tonight with Tim and Tosh as soon as this game is over right here on The Fan. Chuck, appreciate it, man. Good job out there.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That's Chuck Freeman.
Chuck's my favorite on that morning show. Just disclaimer.
I mean, do we have to pick favorites?
All the time.
Okay, well, then who's your favorite on the big show? I'm sorry, what was that, Mike?
He'd be my favorite. He brought back some of them Dodger dogs he was talking about.
Oh, is that food? Is that
yes. food? Yeah.
Mike.
We're sitting here during the break.
And he lost weight. I don't get it.
We're sitting here during the last break, and, you know, I'm getting Chuck up on the board so we can talk to him in the next segment. Mike goes, ask Chuck what the spread is like in the press box.
Yep. Hey, man, Clements is old school media.
I thought he was spread, like, what the spread is, who's going to win the game?
No. Clements is old school media, man.
Chuck said that yesterday they had Dodger dogs, which...
What is that? Like, miniature hot
dogs? No, they're just big hot dogs. I've had a Dodger dog at spring training.
Not the Chicago dog with all the like vegetables.
No, that's
on
how
it.
A hot dog is supposed to be. No, a Dodger dog is just a large hot dog. That's all it is. They've somehow marketed that to be a thing. Like Dodger dogs are known around baseball. Yeah. And Chuck was telling me that the Rockies have actually copied it. They have their own giant hot dog that they sell at Coors Field, and they call it the Rocky Dog. It wasn't that original an idea to begin with. It's just a giant hot dog, and now people are stealing the unoriginal idea. We definitely know food better around these parts.
Yeah,
for sure know food better around these parts.
I eat my hot dog plain. When I eat it, I get it plain. I don't put nothing.
No nothing on it?
No.
No mustard? No nothing? Yeah, I like...
When I go to Wendy's, I get just a plain double stack. Not just meat and bread. I like it.
No cheese?
No. Plain.
What?
I want it plain and dry.
You don't put nothing on it?
No, because...
Sparky?
No.
Ketchup, mustard, onions.
That's too much. It's going to come all out
relish.
The side.
I've been getting into relish a little bit lately.
But when you bite it, it's going to mess your clothes up.
You're talking about hot dogs? You said ketchup.
No, hot dog. Yeah, a hamburger.
You don't put ketchup on a hot dog, man.
I always put ketchup.
That's un-American.
I put ketchup on everything.
Oh, yeah. My sister loves ketchup. She put ketchup on her eggs.
Yeah, ketchup on brats. Ketchup on anything.
Yeah,
Italian sausages.
No.
On an Italian sausage?
Anything.
You almost just made me spill my coffee.
Right there.
I love ketchup.
I don't get down
Good
with
for
that.
You,
Steve. I love ketchup. Good I like mustard too, though. I got nothing against mustard.
On an Italian sausage?
Yeah, that hurts my feelings.
I know there are some people that hate mustard, but I'm good with mustard.
No, I love mustard. On an Italian sausage, you just want like the peppers and the onions and maybe a little marinara.
That's it.
I don't
Stop
have
it right there. Those three things. No other items permitted on an Italian sausage.
That's it. That's all that's allowed.
Fine. If I'm going out to eat and that's how they make it, then that's
I'm
how
I'm the
I'll
fan
eat it.
Italian
gonna...
cuisine insider right now, and I'm telling you that you can only do peppers, onions, and maybe some sauce,
Speaking
and that's it.
Speaking of which, when's your dad cooking for all the rest of us again?
Yeah, for real, dude.
Because that was unbelievable.
When he was an intern, he would bring us food that his dad made for. Now he's done impressing us because he's getting a paycheck from around here.
It worked. If your dad brings in food again,
it worked.
Your dad brings in food again, and it's really good, and Gary LeRoy and I agree, Rami's out. I mean,
okay,
I
cool.
If
it's
we
that
can bring
easy?
In
no, wait.
Hey,
hold on.
I can make meatballs.
Clements, I'll let Clements in, too, depending on how good
Have
Clements
Have I met Anthony's
is.
Dad yet?
Sure you will soon, Mike.
Oh, my God. He can cook, boy. It is so good.
Mike's going to come to your family reunion. Just show up and start eating.
Who's that? That's creepy Uncle Mike. Don't worry about him. He just sits over there with his hand down his pants and he has Italian sausages all day.
Mike Mandela, live from Green Bay, our embedded Green Bay football reporter. We'll reset the big topics discussed on today's big show. Give you the final say on them with Great Lakes Dragaway. Pick a lane. That's coming up next on the Wendy's Big Show, right after we give you a chance to win $1,000 right now because we love you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.